Well, we're celebrating the 4th of July. I know some people are away, they're with family, they're doing other things, but I was just thinking this morning how grateful I am to live in this nation. And with all its quirks and problems, it's still the place where everybody's trying to get to. Amen. Everybody wants to live here. And it is a good land and land that I love. And it's, I believe, a place that God established upon His word and upon His truth with those who had a heart for Him. And and the devil likes to remove old, ancient boundaries. And he likes to rewrite history, and he likes to lie. And he is a liar and the father of lies, and everything he says is a lie. And it seems like everything you're hearing on the news lately is pretty close to it, if it's not, amen. But we are not people of the lie, but we're people of the truth. And we will stand on the truth. And in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28, it says, "Do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you for the anointing. I ask you to lead me. Speak through me. Grant me utterance today. Lord, we need to hear from you. And Lord, impart into our hearts what we need today to nourish, to strengthen, to build up your church. Lord, we might be fruitful and glorify you. God, bring us back to that place, that old landmark, where we make a new commitment and begin a fresh start. Lord, help us to find our direction and place your burden in our hearts. Lord, take us back to that old landmark. Take America back to its roots, to where we have drifted away so far away. Lord, we know the only hope we have is in you. Father, we ask you to forgive our sin, heal our land, turn our nation back to you. Save America. Oh God. Even for the sake of our children and our children's children, Lord. Rise up, Lord, in this generation. Lord, strike down your enemies. And may your name be exalted in this nation. Through every echelon of government, God, we pray. The fear of God to come upon every politician, every judge, every lawyer, every governor, and every mayor. May the fear of God come upon them. Lord, humble the proud. Bring them to their knees in Jesus' name. And raise up righteous men and women to take positions of influence in this nation once again. For only you, God, can make America great again. Hallelujah. Amen. What are the ancient landmarks? The title of the message this morning is Reestablishing the Ancient Landmarks. Well, they're boundary stones. How many have property with boundary stones? Still use them in some places, right? Especially if it's old property. You got to look for that. You got to dig away and find that boundary stone. Sometimes it's covered over with weeds and whatever else has grown in its place. But they're intended to establish the boundaries of the property. And fences are often erected to establish boundaries and as a way of keeping predators out. Also, landmarks are able to help keep peace with neighbors. But a thief is one who would come in and remove established boundaries, right? Who would remove the boundary stone or change its location even in order to take property that doesn't belong to him. And so the devil seeks to entice the believer to remove the boundary stones of God's word from their lives so he can take from them what does not belong to him. Because the devil is a thief, and his goal is to get you and I to ignore or disregard the Word of God. So these ancient boundaries God has established, and these boundaries are set forth in his Word, and his Word is forever settled in heaven. His Word is eternal. His Word does not change because God does not change, and what God says, he will also submit himself to. His Word is forever settled in heaven, therefore the law of God is also a law to God, and God will keep himself to his own Word because of his integrity. So everything that God says, he means. He speaks in truth because he is the truth. So the devil had successfully convinced Adam and Eve that it was okay to disregard the Word of God, remember? And to do so without consequence. And that's why many people, their hearts are set to do evil because they don't see any consequences. They feel like they're getting away with things. So they continue to do evil, thinking that I'm going to get away with it. But how many know that eventually what you sow, you will reap? God is not going to be mocked. And there's coming a day when every knee will bow before him, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ. God has appointed a day in which he shall judge the world in righteousness, and by that man whom he has ordained, he's given us assurance of this because he's raised him from the dead. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to judge, amen, the quick and the dead. And in Genesis 3:4, the devil said to the woman, "You will not surely die." Now, you can look around in our world today. Many people are believing this same old lie. That is, you can live your life free from any boundaries. Sound familiar? And free from consequences. I remember Seattle a few years ago. Chaz. How many remember Chaz? Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. And as the mayor said, it was going to be a summer of love. No boundaries, do whatever you please. We're going to have a summer of love. Remove all boundaries. And what was the result? Chaos, destruction, even death. That's what the devil seeks to do, is remove the ancient landmarks, the standards that God has set in place for the protection of us. God loves us, and therefore he gives us his instruction to protect us. Amen? Can you say amen? So in Isaiah 5 and verse 20, it says, "What sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil. That dark is light and light is dark. That bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter." Everything has been reversed these days. Have you noticed? "What sorrow for those who are wise in their own eyes and think themselves so clever." Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 8 says, "He who digs a pit will fall into it. And whoever breaks through a wall will be bitten by a serpent." In other words, he who digs a pit to harm others eventually will be the victim of his own malice. "And whoever breaks down a wall of stones, either for unlawful entry or to change a property line, will eventually pay a price for it. A serpent will bite." People think that they can do whatever they want and no harm will come to them. But the enemy is wanting you to compromise. And he wants you to let down your wall. He wants you to ignore the instruction of the Lord and listen to what he has to say, because he's a thief, isn't he? And he's a murderer. And he only wants to destroy us. If he can convince us to listen to him, then he can successfully enter into our lives and create all kinds of problems. Anybody beside myself been a victim of that a few times? It's not worth it, is it? But our lives need to be established with clear, well-defined boundaries. You know, we're living in a time now where there seems to be so much lawlessness. Jesus said it would happen, didn't it, in Matthew 24, that there would be a lawlessness, right? Iniquity would abound, or lawlessness would abound, and the love of many would grow cold. And we're living in those times. But we have to have boundaries because boundaries are for our protection. And God's truth establishes those boundaries. In Jude, verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3, "Dear friends, I had been eagerly planning to write to you about the salvation we all share. But now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all to his holy people. I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives." Saying what? God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives? "The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago, for they have denied our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." Satan wants us to remove the ancient landmarks of truth that God has established for our lives. And let me just say this, guys, that we need to be careful to avoid the temptation to jump into every new thing that people and even certain churches are experimenting with. New things coming out, new ways, leaving the old paths for the new thing. How many know there's nothing new under the sun? When the Apostle Paul was at Mars Hill in Athens, he encountered a people who were continually redefining themselves and their culture based upon the latest fad or new thing that was being introduced to them by their philosophers. Oh, we've got a better idea. We're looking for something new, something fresh. Acts 17:21 says, "For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Does God speak to us today? Does God give us revelation today? Amen. Does God do new things? Yes. But we have to be careful. Amen. Because God will never contradict his established word. Amen. People today want to redefine what is true based upon society's interpretation of truth and not upon the unchanging word of God. Some government officials want to redefine gender, marriage, parenting, and even what you are able to think and speak. But 2 Timothy 2:19 says, "But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone." Jesus said, "He who would build his life on what I teach, on what I'm saying, is a wise man that builds his house," what? "Upon the rock." He is the foundation. Amen. And this inscription, it says, what? "The Lord knows those who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil." Must turn away from evil. So even in the church, we have to guard against false teaching. One of the characteristics of a cult is the claim to possess secret knowledge. They claim special revelations from God that only they possess and anyone who would join with them. They often claim authority based on their dreams and visions, but not on the word of God. Now, does God give us dreams and visions? Absolutely. Joel 2:28 says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." Well, how's it go? "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." So the Lord does give dreams and visions. Amen. But remember what God had said through the prophet Jeremiah. His warning was this in Jeremiah 23:25. "I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for who? Baals. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream, and he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord?" God's given us his unchanging word, hasn't he? To protect us, to direct us, to establish, boundaries for our lives to protect us from our adversary and from ourselves. The psalmist declared in Psalms 119:102, I have not departed from your judgments or your regulations, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts or your commandments, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word, you can say it with me, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Hallelujah. A wise man builds his house upon the foundation of truth. Amen. And Jesus is that chief cornerstone. He's the one that can hold you all together. Amen. How many know that the armor was held together by what? A belt of truth, keeping it all in its place. Amen. We need to hold fast to the old landmarks that God has established, his truth. His truth does not change with culture or society. So Proverbs 22:28 says, do not what? Remove the ancient landmarks. Now listen to the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband. That would be Christ, right? That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes to you preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. What is he saying? It's possible to receive a different gospel, a different Jesus, and a different spirit. And the Apostle Paul was pouring his heart out to the Corinthians and warning them against this, that there would be those that even rose up among them that were presenting a different gospel, a different Jesus, a different spirit. And he was concerned that they might be deceived, even as Eve was deceived by the enemy, who questioned God's authority, questioned the word of God, and sowed that doubt in their minds to begin to reflect on that lie and wonder if maybe this is true after all. That's why we need to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Because there's many people today that are running around claiming to have special revelation from God. As a matter of fact, they claim that most Christians and local church assemblies don't get it. Now, it's true that some don't. But they undermine the local assembly and set themselves apart as some elite group of super Christians. I'll talk about this a little bit. An elite group of super Christians. Now, Satan can only operate in the areas where we are prideful and unwilling to submit to God. Satan cannot touch us if we are submitted to God's authority. And God's authority is his word. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. God doesn't mean what he said. You don't need to obey the word of God, he's saying. Sound familiar? For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. You don't need to obey or submit to God because you can be like God. This is exactly what we're seeing played out on a world scale today. People think they're their own God. They want to live independent of the Creator. And anytime someone tries to live independent of the Creator, the result is always chaos, dysfunction, hurt, heartache, destruction, right? So what did Satan do? Well, he undermined, first of all, God's word. He removed the boundary stone of truth that God established for men. How? First thing he did is he questioned God's goodness. When things happen in our lives, we're very vulnerable to the temptation for the enemy to come along and say it's because God's not good. God doesn't care about you. God's forsaken you. Otherwise, this wouldn't have happened to you. Have you heard that voice? It caused Eve to doubt God's word. He sowed a question about what God had said, and she began to entertain it. And so he enticed her with a promise then of power and what? Secret knowledge. Oh, if you take of this, you'll have access to secret knowledge. You'll become an elitist. He told her, you don't need to listen to God's word. He told her, if you listen to me, you can become your own God. And that's what people are doing. They're listening to the voice of the devil today. Nothing new under the sun. Amen. But we're seeing it once again. There's a resurrection of this old Babylonian system. Amen. This one world order all coming together. And it's going to be for the glory of man, independent of God, the creator. Amen. And this is what man is attempting to do once again, even as he did in Genesis, I believe, chapter 11 at Babel. Amen. Where God came down and confounded them and confused the languages. Amen. Because when they pulled together, they were in full rebellion to God's authority. So God disrupted it. And how many know that God's going to do it again? Amen. As a matter of fact, the Lord himself is going to return from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel at the last trump. Amen. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Jesus is coming to rule and to reign. He's going to establish his reign over all the earth, and he shall reign from the city of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And every knee is going to bow to him, and every tongue is going to confess. All the world leaders are going to bow their knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hold on, amen. He is coming just like he promised. Don't worry about what they're doing behind curtains, amen. God sees it all, and it's all going to come out into the light. Every wicked deed will be exposed, and we're going to give an account to the one who sees it all. Hallelujah. So today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get your heart right with God. You got to be careful when you run into people who set themselves up as an elite class of Christians in the church. Guys, when God uses us, we can get proud. I have to guard against the same thing. Amen. We have to really watch it. Because the enemy wants to come up and he starts whispering in our ear. As a matter of fact, what he really wants to do is he wants to receive the glory that God deserves. And if we take the glory on ourselves, we're taking that glory from God. Amen. We understand we're just a clay jar. Amen. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. So if we're going to do any boasting, let's boast in the Lord. Let's give God the praise. Amen. Because the Lord scraped me off. Amen. The bottom. Hallelujah. And gave me a new name, put his heart, amen, his spirit within me. Hallelujah. And he calls me son now, and I can rejoice. Amen. In that. Hallelujah. That God is good and God is merciful and God has saved me. Amen. And given me a new beginning. Praise God for that. It's not because I'm anything special, but he must have thought I was special enough. Amen. As a matter of fact, God thought you were worth it because he went to the cross for you. That's how much you're worth it to God. Hallelujah. Be careful. This special revelation things. Now God gives revelation. I get it. But you and I who are born into Christ, who are born of the Spirit, we have received his Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? And we have his word. So we may know the things that are freely given to us. And it's the Holy Spirit who is the best teacher. Amen. 1 John 2:27 says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. John's not saying that we don't need to be under teaching. Otherwise, that would be a contradiction of Ephesians 4, that God has placed teachers, amen, in the body. But that the true teacher is the Holy Spirit. And any teacher that's not teaching by the Holy Spirit, you don't want to be sitting under. Because we want to be able to hear what God is saying, amen. We don't need somebody's opinion. You don't need my opinion. We need to know what God is saying, amen. The Gnostics of John's day were saying that the apostles' doctrine wasn't enough. You need more. You need an addition to it. You need another book, another testament, an add-on. Sound familiar? That it wasn't enough. There are people today that say the same thing, that the Word of God is not enough. John 16:13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he speaks, he will speak. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. With the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in our hearts, we have all that we need for instruction in righteousness, for instruction in the truth of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Amen, somebody? Amen. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work proactively. Amen? I heard a woman once claim that God pulled her out of the local assembly to unchurch her, so that he could teach her the right way. How many know there are no lone rangers in the kingdom? And God calls us together as a people, as his body. And every one of us is important. Every one of you has value. But God is the one that says, I want you to get together. I want you to gather in my name. I don't want you to isolate yourself. And I don't want you to get a big head and think that somehow you're an elitist Christian and you're more spiritual than anybody else, because that's the same pride that brought Satan down. He tried to exalt himself over and above the authority of God. God doesn't separate his sheep. God gathers them. Wolves divide and scatter the sheep. Are there problems in the church? Somebody say no. Of course, right? There are problems wherever people gather together. But the church assembly is God's idea and not man's. Paul laid the foundation of truth through teaching. Jesus is the foundation. Ephesians 2:20. Together, did we say? Together, we are his house. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. The ancient landmark of truth is God, amen, who is holy. And holiness should be, amen, the landmark of truth in us. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. We're going to talk about the grace of God. What does it do? It teaches us to say no to ungodliness. That's what grace teaches us. Amen. It's not a license to sin. It's freedom from the power of sin to serve the Lord. Amen. So we say no to ungodliness and worldly passions to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. So grace is a marvelous expression of God's mercy and his unmerited favor. But grace is not to be a freedom, amen, to do as we please. But it empowers us to obey God. So the modern church, you know, I don't know what that is, but there are a lot of variations and there are different flavors and there are different personalities of churches, you know. I mean, just because they have a different personality and maybe they're a little more demonstrative than others or a little more quiet than others, doesn't mean they're wrong. Birds of a feather flock together, amen. But one thing that does not change, and that is the eternal word of God and what God has established and put in place, and that is truth. And we all need to build our lives upon the word of God, the truth of God. Amen. And in doing so, we are in a safe place because we have established those ancient boundaries that are able to protect us. Amen. And to save us. Amen. But the thief is the one who wants to remove the boundaries. The thief is the one that even wants to move the stone a little bit. Well, let's just compromise a little bit. We can move the stone a little bit, stretch it a little bit out to here. And how many know that that's all the enemy wants, is to get a foot in the door. Amen. By you compromising only a little bit with him. And then he establishes a foothold. He's taken more territory from you. And the next thing he'll do, kind of like what our politicians do, they just do it incrementally. They erode your freedoms little by little, time after, right? Over a period of time, you say, how did we get this far into oppression? It didn't happen overnight. That same devil, amen, that old ancient devil is at work in the nations. Amen? But once again, we're reminded, because we look at the end of the book, we've read the end of the book, it's going to end well, amen, because the Lord is going to deal with it. So we look to God, amen. When you see the wolf, don't look at the wolf, look at Jesus and say, Lord, deal with the wolf, amen. Hallelujah, and he's going to in his time. You know, we can be current. You go to a lot of ministers' meetings and they're talking about culture and being relevant and, you know, and there's some things that we can adjust, amen. But we don't ever adjust the truth. Amen. You can't compromise the truth to win people. You may win a crowd, but you're not winning disciples. Amen. You're not making disciples. But we can be relevant without forsaking the unchanging word of God, because the word of God is relevant for any generation. It's timeless. These are the ancient landmarks, God's word. And that's what expands the kingdom today as well as in the past. The proven historical landmark of God's truth doesn't change with time and cultural shifts. May we hunger to know the truth. God, make us hungry for your word. Let it be like the psalmist, that it was like honey to my taste. I delight to know your will, to know your ways, to know you, and we know you through the word. We come to know the living word through that which is written. When Jesus was tempted, he says, it is written. Amen. The living word referred to that which was written about him. And when we read, amen, in the book, hallelujah, it's the Holy Spirit that reveals the living word to us. Amen. And we know him who is life. Hallelujah. For the word of God is alive and powerful. How many love the word of God? Amen. It is sharper than any sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes what? Our innermost thoughts and desires. You have to love truth. You have to love truth more than you love your comfort. I like this church because they make me feel comfortable. What does that mean? How are you being made comfortable? I've discovered that sometimes I need to be first uncomfortable before I can be comfortable in the Lord. Before I can have peace with God, I have to first know that I'm lost. I'm a sinner. Amen. And I'm separated from God. If there's an error in my life, I want the Holy Spirit to point it out. Amen. I don't want to be going through life thinking everything is well if it's not. So ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, show me. Search me, try me, see if there's any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. I delight your word. I want to know the truth, because only the truth can set me free and keep me free. Nothing in all creation, verse 13, is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one to whom we are accountable. Oh, Jesus. God is being patient. He is long-suffering. He's not willing that anyone should perish, but but that all should come to repentance. And God has given us now that opportunity in this season to get right with Him. There comes a day when the door will be shut, the door of opportunity. So today is the day of salvation. While you can, and while you can still hear, and maybe even still understand, because sin has a way of blinding us and hardening the heart to where it becomes calloused and insensitive to the Spirit. Are you hearing me? I want God to reconstitute my heart, amen, to give me that heart of flesh, that soft, pliable, open, broken heart before Him, amen, that trembles at His word, that takes Him seriously. Because the word of God is eternal. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. God wants His people to be holy. He's coming for holy people. He's not coming for people who have prostituted themselves with the world and the evil of this world system. Amen. He's coming for those who have kept themselves for the bridegroom. When we take communion, we're saying, Lord, from now on, my life is yours. I will keep myself for you. I'll preserve myself for you. I will live holy for you. And everything now that I have is your property. And everything you have is my property. We are together in this. We are no longer one, but we are what? Two, or two have become one in the Spirit. Even as in the natural, when people get married, amen, the two become one flesh. So in the Spirit, we become, right, one Spirit in the Lord. So the Lord is coming for holy people. Who are holy people? People who realize that their holiness is the Lord Himself. He is my holiness. He is my righteousness. He is my goodness. Only in Him do I have the ability to live right. I can control myself because God gives me the ability to control myself. I can do what's right because God gives me His grace to do right. Because I'm no longer bound by sin, I am free in Jesus' name. I am free. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. So I live now by the power of God. I rely upon the grace of my Lord. I delight in His word. He strengthens me with might in the inner man by His Spirit. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't put any confidence in my flesh, in my ability to live holy. Amen. I put my confidence in the Lord Himself, who alone can keep me and preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom. I know apart from the Lord, I can do nothing, but all things through Christ are possible. Hallelujah. So come, drink, dine at His table. Amen. Come to the Lord. Call upon Him, pray, seek His face, and let the Lord fill you with His presence, empower you, enable you. Let Him give you His instruction. He wants to instruct you. He wants to teach you His ways and lead you in His paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's what God wants to do. He wants us to be wise as He is wise. Wise people trust God. Wise people build their life on the Word of God. Not on the opinions of people, not on my own opinion, not on what society says is normal, but what God says is normal. And truth is our normal, amen, as children of God. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, the world's going to think you're abnormal, but we have a new normal now. Father, thank you so much for the word of God. Thank you for the truth. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for taking care of us. Lord, thank you for helping us through every situation. Lord, as we walk through the waters, you said you would be with us. And that is so true, Lord. You're always there for us, Lord. You'll never leave us or forsake us. God, help us to remember, Lord, your faithfulness in all things. Even when we don't understand all things, God, we know that you can be trusted because of your integrity, because you do not change. May your kingdom come and will be done in each life here, Father God. God, I pray that you'd stir up the hearts of each one of us here today, Father, that you give us a holy passion, a holy desire to pursue you, to seek you, to know you through your word. Wake us up, Lord. God, wake up your church in America. Revive us. Restore us. Lord, take us back to that old landmark. When I was a new believer, I had a little cassette by a group called Zion Choir. I don't know if you ever heard of them. Black choir, but they sang a song, The Old Landmark. And if I can remember, I'm going to share with you a little bit. It says, Lord, take me back to that old landmark where I make a new commitment and begin a fresh start. Help me find my direction. Place a burden in my heart. Lord, take me back to that old landmark. Reestablish the ancient paths, Lord, the ancient boundaries of the word. Bring us back into harmony with you, Lord. To love you, to love truth, for you are truth. Lord, take me back to that old landmark where I'll make a new commitment and begin a fresh start. Help me find my direction. Place a burden in my heart. Lord, take me back to that old landmark. I think about where I began. You think about where you began, where God took you, where it all began. How good, how pleasant, how wonderful, how glorious, how new and fresh and exciting and in love with Jesus and wanting more. God, bring us back to that place. Take us back to that old landmark, Lord. My first love, to love you more than anything, even more than the air we breathe, more than the song we sing. God, help us. I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. Than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you more than yesterday. I need you, Lord. More than words can say. More than words can say, I need you more than ever before. Than ever before, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. More than the air I breathe. More than the song I sing. More than the next heartbeat. More than anything, as time goes by, I'll be by your side. I'll be by your side. 'Cause I never want to go back to my old life. I need you more. Jesus, would you tell him right now that, Father God, take me back. Let it be a prayer. No other gods. Father, demolish every idol in my heart. Oh God, anything that would set itself up before you, God, in place of you. Lord, I want to love you more. I want to know you more. Reveal yourself to us, Lord. Take us higher. Take us deeper. We bless you and we praise you.